You are listening to Making It in the Toy Industry, episode number 183.
Welcome to Making It in the Toy Industry, a podcast for inventors and entrepreneurs like you. And now your host, Ajelle Wade.
Welcome back to another episode of the Toy Coach Podcast, Making It in the Toy Industry. I am thrilled to do this episode with my guest, Brandon Braswell, who's also a TCA alumni, but Brandon went above and beyond and really did more than just develop a product. He created an entire TV show, and he did a really incredible pitch that he pitched at the Toy Creators Academy virtual pitch event. And because so many TCAers and so many people that listen to my podcast are asking about IP pitches, and it is not my specialty, I thought, let's bring Brandon on to share his incredible pitch that really had everybody, you know, excited about his line. So, Brandon, welcome to the show, first and foremost.
Hello, hello, and thank you for having me. I love it. I'm excited to be part of this movement that you've created.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. So, first question I've got to ask is, what is the name of your brand? Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So my brand is called 9to5 Warriors, and it's a 90s inspired toy line that aims to recapture the magic of the Saturday morning cartoon era. At least that's what I put out there into the world. And like what that means to me, the magic of the Saturday morning cartoon era, is creating toys that re-spark imagination and make you want to build with your hands or like just get fully immersed and create your own adventures.
What was your favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Oh, man, I have so many, but Ninja Turtles in general was like the biggest franchise for me. Like, I just know it took over everything, like all my birthday parties, all
what
my
was
sleepovers.
The second one? Oh, Ninja Turtles in general, you said.
Ninja Turtles in general, yeah, yeah. Like, I grew up with the classics, like Terminator, Transformers, G.I. Joe. Those are, of course, memorable, but I would say like Ninja Turtles had the biggest impact in my childhood.
Yeah, I remember I had a Raphael, I think, came to my birthday party once when I was a kid. But my Saturday morning cartoon was actually Recess. I probably was a little bit old for them back then, but I remember I was obsessed with Recess. Like every Saturday morning, I was like, oh yeah, Recess is on. So excited. I don't know.
That was a great show too, man. Yeah. I think we were spoiled, our generation. And that's what I'll get into, like my pitch circles around that era. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying, it's just like story rich content, fun characters. Honestly, how many amazing toy lines that are still today being released and still today making an impact in like the new generation and mostly our people our age who are now accounting for like one out of every four toys.
Right. So true. Okay, what is the essence? This goes into the next area. What is the essence and mission behind 9to5 Warriors?
So, like I mentioned, that whole recapturing the Saturday morning cartoon era, like to me, creativity is everything, like re-sparking imagination in the toys. And that was deeply rooted. And when I sat in that thought, like, okay, why do I want to create a toy? Why do those toys, you know, from my yesteryears still resonate with me today? What is it about that? I boiled it down to story. And to me, story was everything. It's what creates, you know, the difference between a toy and a toys that made us. And I wanted to start there with when I created a toy, because I had, as I showed told you before joining the TCA, I had no idea how to make a toy. But I quickly Googled what I could do.
Yeah.
It looked incredibly overwhelming and complicated. So I started with what I knew, and that's storytelling. So my essence is really like, yeah, just re-sparking imagination, getting people excited about it. And that started with me with story.
And what inspired you with this idea? What was that first thing that made you think, oh, you know what would be really cool?
Making a toy.
Really?
So I was finishing your sentence. When I was in LA, there's this diner and it was a cool little setup that you wait for your food and there's a toy store next door. And at the time I was like in my 20s, I had never collected toys, wasn't into toys at that point. I was like, I had my toys as a kid and now I'm a grown up. I didn't think twice about it. But walking into that store, a vintage toy shop, I was like smacked with nostalgia and like waves of memories came to me. And I was just like hit with so much joy and like rush of memories that I totally forgot. And I was like, what is that? Like that sensation. And as I alluded to, like my background is storytelling. I'm a video and professionally my job is to invoke some sort of emotion through video. And I was getting that emotion evoked by a physical product, and I never had that before. So that to me was just like, how do I recreate that? How do I capture that magic that I just experienced? And I wanted to create a toy from that exact moment. And I was just like, I want to do that for someone else. I want to do that for the generation growing up.
So like, that's awesome. It's so funny because you were inspired to create this toy, and then you look into the toy industry and you're like, that's too complicated. What I'm going to do is something more complicated and build an entire IP and world. So if you're listening to this episode and you're actually watching it live with us on YouTube, hello, I saw you there, Carla, and I saw somebody else with a name starts with an M. She's new to our community. If you have questions as we go through the pitch that we're going to play soon, please throw them into the chat. I can see what you guys are commenting, and I will ask Brandon your questions live. So the next step after you had this idea and you thought, okay, I'm going to make the toy, and then that's too complicated, I'm going to make the IP. And then eventually you found me and you joined TCA and you came to the TCA virtual pitch event. Now, this pitch video, I hope this is the right video because of what I'm going to describe right now.
Yeah, it is.
But this pitch video is actually the result of you having just being on vacation. And you were like, Ajel, I'm going to be on vacation and I'm afraid the Wi-Fi won't be strong enough for me to pitch and show my idea. So you cut together footage you already had of your brand and created like a pre-recorded pitch. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is better than if you just pitched it live. And you even got that feedback from people at Hasbro like, oh wow, this was the best pitch I've ever seen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Since I have the superpowers of video editing, I did want to even it out. Like I actually did do the whole thing one take and recorded it because I rehearsed my pitch over and over and over.
Yeah.
And my fear was exactly that. Like I would run out of Wi-Fi and I couldn't stream, you know, like it was slow. So I did everything in one take as if I was pitching and showing the Zoom as I had planned or my presentation as I had planned.
Yeah.
And when I just put it together, like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it captured hopefully my passion and the idea at the end of the day. And it did resonate with them, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear something rustling in the background. Be careful of your mic. I hear something going over it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But okay, I want to play the video before I do, because I want to talk about what happened after you pitched this video. What were you thinking before the pitch event? Like, were you excited to be a part of it? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, honestly, this was my first opportunity to pitch it professionally and, you know, with everything, you know, because at that point I already had all 10 prototypes. I created the commercials, which you'll see. I created, you know, the animation, which I'll get into too. Like, so you kind of alluded to it, like, how did I jump into it and I took the longer route? Well, unfortunately, like, TCA wasn't around back then. This was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Did whatever I could and navigated, you know, oh, shiny light here. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do this. Like, I was very.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just excited to put it all together and show it.
Okay, awesome. Let's try to play this. Let's hope the audio works. If not, I might have to take my headphones off. So, introducing the 9 to 5 Warriors. Now, if you're just joining us, I just want to say what we're about to look at. Brandon Braswell had invented this toy show and toy line called 9 to 5 Warriors. And this was his pitch deck that he used at the TCA virtual pitch event when he was pitching to Hasbro. So let's hit play so we can learn from Brandon. Is it gonna? It's loading.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Could you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, you can? Oh, you could hear it? Oh, perfect. Okay, starting again.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity to pitch. First and foremost, I'm excited to share this passion project with you. My name is Brandon Braswell, and I'm the creator of 9 to 5 Warriors. 9 to 5 Warriors is a 90s-inspired toy line that aims to recapture the magic of the Saturday morning cartoon era. To me as a kid, there's nothing better than diving into a bowl of cereal and watching my favorite cartoons. To see what the characters got themselves into or how they eventually saved the day was a great experience. But to me, the real magic happened when the shows ended and I took the adventures off screen and into my own hands with the toys. To me, story is everything. It's what brings the characters to life. It's what sparks imagination. It's what creates that unbreakable bond that lasts generations. To me, it's what sets the difference between a toy and the toys that made us. So when I went out to create my own toy, I started there. This is how 9 to 5 Warrior story begins.
warriors. Just as the light gets lower, that's when they all take over. At night, the fighting begins. There's no telling which side will win. Some good, some bad, some crazy, some rad. Commandos and bandits, they both just gotta have it. 9 to 5 warriors, gentle electricity, brought them all to life, you see. This is how they came to be, brought to this reality. It happens every day from 9 to 5.
So meet Alan McMillan. He's your typical Toys R Us kid that never quite did grow up. He's stuck in that uncreative office in a cubicle working that 9-to-5 grind. You might know the feeling. But, you know, it's based in the 90s, so there is no Instagram to keep him distracted. In the interim, he actually spends most of his time creating his own action figures, made out of office supplies and leftover food. He wages his imaginary battle between the water cooler commandos and the break room bandits. It was all fun and games until one freak accident involving his Japanese energy drink, Jensei, sparked them all to life. Now Alan is caught in the middle of a real world battle for total office domination. It'd be a miracle if he gets any work done, basically. So now that you know a little bit about the backstory, I'd love to introduce you to the toys.
Finally, a reason to go back to the office. Introducing 9-to-5 Warriors, an exciting new toy line created for the Toys R Us kid that never grew up. Offering 10 unique characters that are perfect for your cubicle or home office. The 9-to-5 Warriors are available through Big Bad Toy Store. Join the battle alongside Major Eraser and the Water Cooler Commandos as they keep the peace. Or wreak havoc with Colonel Custard and the Break Room Bandits. Choose your side as these two forces clash over total office domination.
It happens every day from 9 to 5.
Warning, do not leave unattended. Each figure sold separately. When you punch out, they come punching in.
These are the good guys, the Water Cooler Commandos, led by the fearless Major Eraser. Major and the Water Cooler Commandos know that their existence was a mistake, and that they're there to maintain office peace and keep their existence a secret. They know that if the world ever knew of them, or the power of Jensei ever got into wrong hands, humanity could crumble. So he and his ragtag group of office supplies maintain the office peace and keep their existence a secret. It'd be an easy day's work if it wasn't for the evil mastermind Colonel Custard. He and the break room bandits scour the office searching for Jensei and creating new minions along the way. They're hell-bent on total office domination and seeking revenge against the wasteful humans that once tossed them away. So going back to the 90s nostalgia, all 10 of these characters are sculpted by Scott Hensley, the man behind 90% of the toys I grew up with. He hand-sculpted them and brought that unique special feel that is not only new, but has that familiar feel to them, which was important to me to go into the target demographic, that nostalgia-chasing millennial that now accounts for 1 out of every 4 toys being sold, a $9 billion marketplace. So this was all done strategically to combat the difficulties of launching a new brand. I grounded it in familiar setting and filled it with nostalgia that they're searching for. This project started 10 years ago, where I focused on the story with comic books and trading cards and a bunch of other fun products. This is all self-financed, and I currently have the initial 10 prototypes and I'm working with Big Bad Toy Store to take pre-orders. I believe this is just the start of what's possible with this concept, from the comics to video games to TV series and movies. I'm now at a critical point where I can continue down the path as an indie toy maker, or with the help of a partner like Hasbro, I can ensure that 9-to-5 Warriors is a catalyst to the next generation of Saturday morning cartoons for the kids growing up today. And I'd love the opportunity now to answer any questions you might have or discuss further. Thank you.
I mean, so great. I'm sure I'm about to minimize this and come up to so many questions for people that are watching live. But so, yeah, I have so many. Okay, so Yasmin's here. I've got someone Bible trivia game, Carla Morrow. So guys, if you have questions, please ask them. Brandon's here to answer them. But okay, amazing pitch. It was interactive. You called out the company. I mean, I always teach you guys like put the company name like in the presentation, but like you were like, I did one better and I'm just going to call out their name. What was the feedback as soon as you had that pitch? You finished that part of the pitch.
So what was great too, like I said, this was like the first time presenting it, period, like professionally like that and everything all at once. Right. What was great is like their reaction to things that I hope that they would catch up on. You know, they mentioned things that are not in the presentation, like, oh, this reminds me of that specific toy line. Ninja Turtles is one of them. This is Hasbro. And I thought that was really cool. He's like, I get this sensation of that, this, this, and that. And he also said, like, I could see the potential of the story going this way and that way. You know, like all I wanted to do was kind of provide like kind of guide rails of like, this is where I'm headed, or at least the potential of what it could be. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just, I don't want to overload you with everything, but
yeah,
the possibilities could be endless. And I like the feedback that like, I saw a light in his eye that like saw that, oh, this could be that, this could be this, you know, that was my feedback.
I did see that. So we do have a question coming in, guys, keep them coming in. The first question I want to prompt you with, though, is you've been developing this over 10 years, right?
Yeah. But with that caveat of like stopping and going for basically I think as you can see, I'm like, I have a lot, an overachiever, I like to say, like I'm a perfectionist to my own demise because.
Are you a Virgo?
No. It's born Capricorn rising.
Wow. You know the detail. So, okay.
Yeah.
When did you start doing the toy part of it? Because the next question that we have from Paulette, I'm going to bring that up on the screen, is how did he get the prototype made considering the costs involved? Let's talk about like when and how you got that developed. When did you start the toy part?
Sure. So the toy part started in 2020. Like most of us, you know, work kind of abruptly stopped because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I was in a travel business and obviously travel died. And I was like, let me utilize this opportunity that's been like scratching at the back of my head. Like I said, I started this 10 years ago. And at this point, it's been 8 years since I picked it up again. And I'd always keep thinking like, I should start it again. I should do something. Let me look at the prices again. Maybe they're not expensive. Wrong. Yeah. It was actually more expensive. But I was like, let's try it. Like whatever. Let me at least do one. So something. I chose, I discovered Scott Hensley, who I talked about in a pitch. And he's the sculptor behind Ninja Turtles. He did like all the bad guys. He did, you know, Star Trek, Exo Squad, like practically Street Sharks, like so many toys that I literally grew up with. And when I discovered him, like, he's perfect. Like, it's already nostalgia. It's already 90s based. I wanted it to be hand sculpted. And to quickly also answer, I did attempt in the past and I made a lot of expensive mistakes. Hiring the wrong freelancers, going a different route, not receiving my product after paying for it. Like, there's a lot of trials and tribulations that, like, you do as a TCA coach. Like,
wait, say that last part again. You broke up after trials and tribulations?
Oh, that you clearly state this in the TCA, like, the do nots, the top 10 do nots. I was basically like, check, did it.
Wait, really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Because obviously you get excited, you want to create something. And again, without guidelines, know-how, you just follow the wrong pieces. So, sorry I'm long-winded, but 2020 comes. I find Scott and we settle on a price. It was expensive. And I decided to do one figure. That process takes a couple of weeks, months maybe. And I receive that figure. Like, I got to do another one. That was such an amazing experience. To have it in your hands, to have it come to life, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the answer is, like, what made me decide is since I already had the animations, I already did the wax packs, I already did the comic book, I did all these things besides actually attempt to make the toys. It was, to me, just let me try to go fully out and actually make a toy and follow the procedures. So
I Googled
and researching around.
I want to talk a little bit about the cost of those prototypes, though, because people listening might be like, oh, but seriously, like, how did you fund it? And I want to do this from the perspective of someone who also started their own business, this, the Toy Coach, but also prior to this, Costumize Me. And when I started my product-based business, which was Costumize Me, I worked full time and I very intentionally set aside a budget of money every month so that I could invest that into my business. And then when I did the Toy Coach, it was a budget of money that I set aside. And once I had a certain amount, I was like, okay, I can do this. Is that how you managed to afford your prototypes? Or did you do grants? Did you do any Kickstarters or anything like that?
Since I went, I have multiple answers to that, of course, because the first one was strictly like, it was 2020. I don't know if you remember around that time, like cryptocurrency and all this other crap was happening.
Yeah.
And I took in crypto and it gave me a little bit of extra money. So that was like a lucky strike. But everything else I funded previously to that, the wax pack, the paper products, which still cost a lot of money to do. That was all, you know, putting away money and just like, okay, if I'm going to make the initial step, let me just try. Okay, it's $800 here. Okay, $1,200 there. Like, it adds up very quickly. And it was very overwhelming. And again, without the guidelines, I kind of kept on spending money and wasting money. But truthfully, even when I made all 10 eventually, I got smarter. I got better. I found better prices. I understood more ways to save money in the long run. But ultimately, I did spend a very pretty penny on creating all these prototypes. There's kind of no way of all, but I did 10, not one.
Give us some tips around that. What, if you can remember three tips of how you learned to save money from prototype one to prototype 10?
Yeah, I want to preface too that we live right now in a day and age where like anything is possible. And there's so many cool tools that you can do, whether it's building your own website or coding or like anything like that. Like, you could take the power in your own hands, as well as find cheap, affordable freelancers outside of the United States. So one of the first things I used was like freelancer.com. This was before Fiverr. Fiverr.com is as well, you know, like,
yeah.
But this is a caveat too. Like, as you warned in your courses, like, sometimes you find the wrong freelancer and it kind of wastes more money. You have to do your due diligence and like look at prior examples, make sure that they really actually know what they're doing. See if they deliver. They're overpromising, and you know, the virtue is always like, if it's too good to be true, it's usually because it's not going to happen.
Not true.
I had a team that, you know, promised me to make all 10 for $800.
What?
This was like, which is insane. Like, let's just be realistic. Mm-hmm. And they handed 10 products at the end, like 10 models. They were not 3D printable. They were not toys. They were not nothing. Wow. But that was a waste of $800. Of course, yeah. I was just anxious to make it. But so to save money, I mean, honestly, try to scrap together, like, what are you naturally good at? Like, for me, video comes into my wheelhouse of power. Like, I know video and I know I can create something. I can create something that conveys. Maybe I can use it to barter. You know, people need video. Maybe, like, I honestly, I'm a hustler. So I try to work my way around every situation to avoid spending so much money. So I offered barter situations at the time. I offered, you know, or just saving or doing extra freelance work on the side so I can pay for it. Like,
yep.
There's like, I'm not lying. Like, there's so many different opportunities. So even if you see one path and it's very expensive, like, just keep searching, utilize Fiverr, utilize freelancers, utilize different community networks. There's always someone willing to do it for cheap or free, or like, there's partnerships you can come up with. Like, that's what I honestly can say. Just try everything.
As soon as Brandon gets his inventory, we've been talking about a partnership swap on our end too. Like, for sales. Like, we've been talking. Exactly. So, you know, there is always an opportunity. I really thank you so much for sharing that. And the other tip that I know I've mentioned in TCA is, well, one, in TCA, I do have a kind of a breakdown of what these things normally cost, so you can compare. Mm-hmm. But then I also always say, like, get three prices, like, get prices from three people, so you can kind of gauge, like, all right, if this person's done this before and this person's done this before and they're charging this much, maybe this person charging $800 for 10 figures is out of their mind. You know, there are people that just say yes to get the quick money, you know?
And I want to touch on that again too, because I'll be transparent. One of my prototypes cost $5,000 alone, just for one character.
Then another 3D model?
I won't even go into, because some are hand sculpted and some are 3D modeled. There's a mixture in prices and the time frames and the technology allows. But one's $5,000 alone. Uh-huh. The other one could be, one is like, I think I only spend around $800. The quality. And that was digital, but there's like so many things. But also, because of the pandemic, $5,000 is the initial, let's say. People, also freelancers, they're artists themselves, they're willing to negotiate, especially if you're trying to do more than one. And also, for work too, like, there's, as I was, I did get three prices. I always try to just find the best solution. Mm-hmm. But again, if it's too good to be true, then just avoid that one.
That point about freelancers offering a deal when you do multiple is a great point. Even me, as my own service provider, when you have to choose between, when it's one client giving you multiple projects, you're more likely to say, yeah, I'll give you a break. Because if I don't, I have to learn and onboard a whole new client. So it's like, sometimes it's like, it's actually easier if we develop another thing together because I understand you and I know what you're looking for. I know the vibe of the character. Whereas if I get a new client, it's kind of starting over. And sometimes, don't you think in the toy industry, it's also if they really just want to work on your project, they're like, all right, I'll give you a break. 100%. Because, I'll give you a break because this is really cool.
That energy of wanting to work on a project,
yeah,
from a buyer's perspective, like let's say I have three quotes.
Yeah.
If I have really expensive, one that's just kind of cheap, and the one in the middle that's kind of higher but still relatively affordable. If the one in the middle is excited about it, I'm going to pay that extra dollar. Or even if this is the higher, I'm going to pay that extra dollar because they are genuinely taking the excitement. They're oh, I could do this.
Yes.
I see firing off. And then, to me, that's a guarantee to be a better output, you know, like versus taking someone like, yeah, this is what I charge. Here's my invoice, like,
because you can see it sometimes in the work. If it's something as hands-on as a hand sculpt, you can sometimes kind of see it, the passion that went behind it.
Absolutely. And that was what was cool is that that's exactly what did happen. I chose two different sculptors kind of going simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
With Scott, I saw his excitement. He's been doing this for years, you know, and I saw in the background Pringles out and like different chips, and he would create like weapons out of the paper clips and other things, and like I saw his brain going off with the imagination, just working on like how could this be a cool toy. And the same way in the digital end, like I saw him light up with certain characters, and it was like that's the energy you kind of want to stay in when you're creating something fun.
Oh my gosh, I just realized that that's the top of a coffee cup. That's so brilliant. That's so funny. Okay, let me go quickly into a few other things. I have so many things. I don't know if we can talk about this. Where can you buy this line, 9 to 5 Warriors, right now? Is it currently available for retail sale anywhere?
Yeah, so I initially launched a pre-sale for all 10 at once, and is a kind of thing you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to start with one and like kind of opened up, but I was ambitious and I was like, not many people have video. Maybe
and
I
can, you hadn't taken TCA yet. And then,
so we know the story, but so only four are going to move through production right
only
now.
Only say that again. You broke up.
Only four will be moving through toward production. Okay. So those four pre-order through Big Bad Toy Store. And that was another gamble I took, was like, you can go the Kickstarter route. And again, being like, kind of doing this for a little bit, like I know the benefits of going the Kickstarter route is like, A, you get the majority of the money, but the caveat is you're going to get a shipment from China eventually, a really large shipment from China, a pallet. You're going to need to put that pallet somewhere that's warehouse space. You're going to have packaging. You're going to have to break those down. That's man hours. It's stuff that like I just knew I didn't want to take away from my main job, or things I just didn't want to do. Like I'm not going to sit there. I'll probably make a mistake. I'm dyslexic. I'll send it to the wrong place.
Yeah. So
I partner with a retail, like Big Bad Toy Store. I figured I can leverage their email campaign and their audience reach. They're well known within the toy industry. They obviously have a factory. Warehouse. They obviously know how to handle packages. They know how to like ship it out, and they can handle everything. What that meant is a smaller amount of money that actually goes towards me. Like they're buying it at home directly, a wholesale price.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was, I don't want to say another mistake, but I probably will go the Kickstarter route for the remaining six, because I still want to make the remaining six.
Yes.
And like the consensus, like everyone keeps DMing me, hey, when are they going to be available? When's the Kickstarter? When's this? Like, so I know the demand is there, but I want to still just get these four out to show that I can actually deliver on my word, you know? And plus, I want to make the damn toys already.
These are the four, years. Right? Right here? These four? Are these the ones?
So two good guys and two bad guys. The leaders of each and, you know, like the sidekicks.
Awesome. Love it. Okay, so when do you have a plan for your Kickstarter? When's it going out?
Right now, my focus is just getting to production. So I just got the paint masters yesterday. I'm going to send those off to China, then start tooling. Tooling's probably going to take, you know, 45 days of X amount of time. Then it starts the production process. So I'm praying, you know, before just November or even October, like, and I can actually have these done, but we'll see. So, everything's reliable in China.
I do want to hail you for the focus, because I mean, obviously, even myself, and I've definitely seen some TCAers want to do everything at once, like want to have a book and want to develop a show and pitch it and want to have the product and sell it in retail and to sell it to consumers and want to do all the things at one time. But I really admire the fact that you're able to focus and say, okay, I have these retail sales. I'm going to focus on getting that done. And then we'll make a plan for Kickstarter and not overstretching yourself to make sure you can deliver high quality.
Yeah. And it's always kind of been like that. Yes, I've jumped around, but time and like, it's just, that's my personality too. But even when I first started, I focused just on the animation. Like mm-hmm. I wanted something to say how they were made. You know, I created a 60 second animated show that doesn't exist yet. the show opened basically. So a catchy theme song, show how they were made, some action shots. And I focused on that. I said, let me get that through the line, because to me, that's important when I'm going to actually go to producing it, which was the next thing was to produce the wax packs, to trading cards, another element to expand upon the story. Then the comic book to expand upon the story yet again.
And adding to Paulette's question, which I pulled up here, asking, are you going to manufacture or are you going to license? Clearly, you're manufacturing the toys, but would you like to license the show, I'm guessing?
I'm very open to everything. Like, honestly, it's one of those things that, like, the bright opportunity that will present itself. Thanks to your course, I actually learned a lot more. Like, I knew I was asking for things in the universe. Like, I want to be able to do this. When you start seeing, like, oh, that's actually a very small percentage. Like, you people don't really realize, like, okay, you're selling to, as you put it, like, here's your 4 to 5% of a sale mm-hmm. to a wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Factor. This amount, 50%, and the retailer is making this percent. Like, it's kind of, you're like trickling down, but it's never been about money. It's like just getting the idea out.
Yeah.
Because, like, my mission is out there. Like, the story is out there. Hopefully, it's invoking, and hopefully, it is the catalyst to the next generation of Saturday morning cartoons. I started this saying, it's like our generation had that luxury of so many different shows. And I truly believe that the toy industry is in the state that it currently is because no one's taking the risk and investment in creating new IPs. Like, we mm-hmm. keep doubling because, again, when you really think about, like, in my pitch, I say 1 out of 4 every adult are contributing to the sales of toys.
$9 billion. Yeah.
When you're asking why. Like, that's because the marketing and stories and everything was established over 20 years ago. And good story matters because the show ran, and it was not Netflix back then. So it didn't just suck you in and series after series after series. You had time to turn on TV and play with your toy. From that point on, you took what you saw on TV, characters, storylines, but you created your whole new ones. And that's what resonated. And that's what keeps them buying it today. That's what kept me. That's what created that spark when I picked up the toy in the toy shop. So if toy companies really pay attention to that and stop trying to go on like a fad or something like a widget, some sort of magical thing or an app pairing device and things that you know are just passive, like focus on story because everything's about story. Pitch itself.
Well, hold on. Now I've got I'm pulling down Ken's question because now what you're asking leads it into Yasmin's question. She wants to ask, how did it go with Hasbro?
So I got a follow-up and they said since his department was, I believe it was like toys, and he wanted to pass me on entertainment.
Yeah.
I got the email to be passed to entertainment and then it like fizzled away. And then I got an email from the entertainment department saying that someone's in a changing head positions, you know, clearly a change in infrastructure or whatnot. Like the guy that I pitched to,
yes,
did ask entertainment, but yeah, Mark.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, then that person got changed out and I should maybe follow up. Like, this is one of those
Things. I was literally about to yell at you. Absolutely not. Watch somebody from Hasbro watches this video and they're like, wow. He just dropped us. He didn't even. I would recommend following up with Mark and saying, "Hey, I know there were a few changes in entertainment. I still really believe in this line. I know you were really excited about it. Is there someone new you could put me in touch with so that I can pitch this to them?"
Correct. See, let me chat GPT that real quick.
I know. I mean, you guys gel GPT'd it. I just told you what to say. Okay. So but
this goes back to the caveat of this entrepreneur mindset, as you said, like,
yeah,
kind of good things, and then you have this, you know, imposter syndrome. That's why
you don't have to tell me.
Then you come out. So that's something I definitely like. The biggest struggle is that, like, cast aside any manufacturing issues or team issues, freelancing, money wasting. Like, the biggest thing is imposter syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And that is towards every day. Like, oh, it is actually really good. Watching
the pitch. Watching the pitch. Like, this should be on TV right now. Everybody in the comments is like, what? All right, we have a few more questions. I'm going to put one up from Ken. Ken wants to know, do you have a following for your toys? Or for your brand, yes. Sorry.
I slowly build it on Instagram. As Azel and I were just talking about Instagram, I have a catch-22 with social media. Like, and mm-hmm. coming from them really quickly, like, if you're investing so much into social media, like, that's something that you just don't own.
You don't own it.
Algorithm very quickly, and then your content dries up. What I found is that as soon as I started investing, you know, $500, who suppose, of course it engages, and I got massive amounts of followers. I got great comments. As soon as I stopped paying, the engagement fell through.
Yep.
Like, just found a, like, I'm not going to keep spending money, which is very expensive. I spent like $2,000 on marketing alone, which then I'm like, that's not that much compared to how much a company, but I'm like, that's $2,000 I could put towards a product or put towards another prototype or a comic or something, or an artist, something else. So the following is there. It's scattered, you know, TikTok, Facebook groups, all that stuff. Thankfully, I did my due diligence of launching a while ago and embedding myself in the toy community, which at the time was a lot of art toys and mm-hmm. definitely toys that were just literally created by artists. They were the vinyl community, et cetera. So my following is within there, and I do well anytime I do post on Reddit. Let's say, like, I see the post and the engagement, and keeps me going. But yeah, I don't know what a significant amount of following is. I remember you might have said that in the TCA or something in the
maybe.
Past. It was like,
yeah,
people with hundreds of thousands of followers still not
monetizing.
It's still not enough for an IP. You know, like, it's
I've shopped IPs for licensing that had like hundreds of thousands of followers, and still they're like, nah. It's timing also, though, because if it's like too old, if it's not really trending right now, licensing is so trend driven. Like, so yeah, and I would say if you're not gathering emails from those followers of yours, you should. I would invest money in retargeting ads that lead them to a landing page to sign up for the next drop of characters that are going to be available for sale so that you can own those contacts, get email, get phone number so you can text and email. I would definitely use the money to collect what you already should own. And you're totally right. Like,
100%.
It's not safe to build a business on Instagram. The past couple months, I really didn't use Instagram as much. And I'm really trying to move away from like relying on that platform for visibility and instead like building the email list, building the podcast, but like you got to take people away from the platforms you don't own, essentially.
100%. And that is something that like I do, and I just need to focus harder on doing so.
Yeah.
It's easy, and it's not only time consuming, it just costs money, as you're saying.
It does cost money. Yeah.
And all this stuff. It's like, right now, I'm still trying to pay for the production. Like, I raise a good amount, but I still have to pay out of pocket. And the beautiful thing is that, like, right now, like, again, with the focus, I want to focus on getting them through the finish line, because I think once they're in people's hands, then I get, you know, the natural marketing being done. You know, like, people are going to do unboxings or reviews or just, like, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully fan bases I've already established, those like diehards that I get DMs like, hey, what's going on, like, this is a new character, those people hopefully will be my champions and champion the brand. I'm just trying to get to that point.
You've got a lot of fans here. This is what people are saying about your video. Awesome. You know, we're seeing that was 5-star. But we do have another question. Oh, and wow, you put a lot of work into your brand. You know, people are loving the video.
Thank you.
And if you guys are watching live and you have more questions, I think we have a little bit more time, so toss them in now. The last big question I have here is from Scott. Yes. Were there any significant design changes or alterations as you went from preliminary design to sculpt to prototype? And were you open to things changing?
Yeah. Every single time I work with a new artist and a different medium, so meeting like 2D to animation, from a 3D image to a 3D model, like every single time shifting from an artist or a medium, it's always a design iteration. Like there's always something that comes up. Like for instance, Major, like arm wasn't long enough to bypass his thigh because the bow, like it's little things like that. Or even just, oh, Scotchy's beard was just a little too long, so it interrupted with the tape thing. Or this is a different expression that we could try because it actually conveys, you know, like how do you make a toy out of a can? And his facial expression is his whole thing, and the nuts inside are the, you know, the wow factor, I guess. And it was one of those characters that was the biggest challenge of making, how do you make a toy out of a can? But that, because we did the work and the due diligence and the thinking behind it, the expression stuff, he became a popular character. When I personally was like, he's the last character I'm gonna do. Like I wasn't even like, I don't want to say interested in making a toy, I just didn't know how to make a toy. So that was a really cool experience to see, you know, artist interpretations, me learning, and then my interpretations once I had a physical thing, and me being the creator, like, okay, I think this expression can work because this leads to his personality, et cetera.
And who did, like, these, like, you have a whole commercial. Do you have episodes done?
No, not episodes. Those
just
are
a commercial.
Technically. Like, I have a Bible, just in case people ask for a pitch. There's things I have, you know, like, just
comics?
In case.
Like,
yeah.
Are these full? How many comic stories do you have done?
I have one that's published and a couple that are written, but I want to get the first one out and see how that does before.
You better follow up with Hasbro.
I'm trying. Okay. Hey, Mark.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm speechless at how, I mean, I knew it. I mean, I've seen it before, obviously, but seeing it again is just this big refresh reminder that of how incredible you are and how much you've done with this brand. Okay.
So in hindsight, what I want to add is like, now learning from that and again, going through the course and listening to different podcasts, is at the end of the day, it's like a toy company is going to be worry about one thing, how to move that product off a shelf. Mm-hmm. And I really want to drill that down in the pitch. Like in hindsight now looking, I kind of want to drill that in more and focus on about like story. Like people need to invest the chance in creating story right now, because that's what's going to like build that connection. And that pushes out those toys today still to those adults that are brainwashed from 20 years ago.
You know, as I talked about how licensing is such a time-based thing, since you've pitched, more and more toy companies have leaned into wanting to be entertainment companies. Now, they haven't outright said it. It's kind of an analysis that everyone in the industry is making based on the positions that seem to be getting laid off and then the positions that seem to be getting added to most toy companies, as well as things like the Barbie movie. I think there's a Rubik's Cube movie coming out. I know Hasbro has a movie. I can't remember. But the Hot Wheels TV show. More and more toy companies are looking at a way to turn their brands into IPs. So I think that is a great opportunity for someone who has developed a full brand with a solid story that makes sense and is interesting and design the toys with it. I mean, it, you know, for a company looking for something new, this seems like a no-brainer.
Which is, it's funny, like I said, my business has been in video for years. Hmm. And business partner, I've been saying this for years. Every company moving forward is going to turn into a media company.
Yeah.
And you look at Red Bull. Like Red Bull was kind of a pioneer of this. Like they sell, I mean, energy drinks. But at the end of the day, they have like a Red Bull channel, dirt bikes, skydiving, all these things. They're jumping off planes. And like there's so much content behind that because it fuels the brand. It's more commercials, basically. It's real estate. Like it's content that's just being generated. Then people are tagging themselves in Red Bull. It becomes a movement. So to go back, like Hasbro, I did listen to podcasts as well as Mattel. They were both transitioning into moving their company into more of a content driven. They wanted specifically, they said, like, I want to do what Disney Plus or Disney's done with the Star Wars franchise, or Disney's done with the Marvel franchise.
Where did you hear that? What show?
It was a podcast with Hasbro about most, it was one of those like entrepreneur podcasts about like, but he specifically said he's going to move towards content. And that's why Transformers came out. And that's what like, it's been out, but like they're tying in G.I. Joe and all these things. Like that's the smartest thing to do because you can make billions on toys, but you can also make billions just on IP, making the movies, the TV shows. Like in a perfect world, I need to do a Medium article, remind me to. Mm-hmm. The streaming and the toys companies need to come together. Like a Hasbro and Netflix
company. Yes. Oh my gosh.
That's what I would love to pitch is that, like, listen, guys, you have this freaking amazing service called Netflix that pushes out content. Everything they push out that's supposedly number one on the week instantly is clearly going to get eyes. Tie that with the toy. And you got a million, multi-billion dollar success, you know?
How do you afford to make all these videos, though? Like, where?
Well, that's me. That's just me doing it.
You film all these?
Yeah.
And the lighting? The lighting's so good.
Thankfully, my buddy does the lighting, so I a lot. Thankfully, lighting. I think you have a podcast literally or a module too, like step into your own power. Like what can you do really well?
Mm-hmm.
Double it in toy. So this is what I can honestly do. And obviously toys need content. That's what I was alluding to.
Yeah. And I think that I also have a podcast episode somewhere about it too. Like the puzzle of you find what you're great at, combine the things you love with that to build what company or brand you should create. Oh, wow. I mean, congratulations. I mean, I know you haven't achieved what you want to achieve yet, but to everybody here.
No, now I'm feeling successful. I'm like, hey, okay. You know what? Like
I I'm am awesome. Pretty
I'm
good.
It. I'm doing it. I am doing it. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing
it's
it.
It's really, you forget because you're like waiting for the milestone of it. For me, I have that vision of someone like a little kid picking it up in a toy aisle, you know, like. Mm. Until I'm there, it's not done. But I'm like, no, it's actually making amazing progress.
Journey. Honestly, I think that I can't see the future, but I do believe if you had this product ready to be at a specialty show, there a lot of people would be drawn to it and you might get a few orders, which I feel then you'll be on the shelf and you'll have that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I did it. You know, it's done. And I just, as we close, Erin had one comment for you. I want you to see it. She said, she feels you as someone trying to promote their own IP without paying Facebook for ads. It's rough out here. No one sees my stuff. It's true.
Honestly, community. Like community. Again, when I was talking about bartering, it's just networking. Is everyone
we should have like a barter Wednesday on like every month or something in the group where we all post what we're good at and what we need help with that we could just barter.
There's so many things like that happen like locally that are like a little pop-ups that you could see how it becomes successful because no matter what you're like I'm telling you, the clients that I work with, these are million dollar companies and stuff like that, they're always struggling with the same thing on Instagram. Everyone's playing on it. Like there's no need for everyone to be on the same space. So you have to kind of create your own space. And that looks smaller. That looks more like guerrilla warfare. That's getting clever with it. That's like, for instance, like you just did the trade show at Astra and you had like really great takeaways. That is the style I would do it too. Great little takeaways, goodie bags. Like for me.
Hold on. You just got really far away and really quiet. Can you closer?
Hello.
Come louder and closer. Perfect.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So basically like create experiences, create things that are takeaways, create things that will help hopefully that someone gets it, they want to take a photo of it, that they want to share it on their social media, do whatever means possible, just really think outside the box. Because if you only are thinking about social media and the next post, like that's where I was. And the lack of feedback, whether it's a like or a share, like that gets to you. You think it's not good enough.
You think it's
like
you, yeah.
Things that like that's just
I'm going to share what
you.
You're talking about. My showcase as an example, and ignore my messy desktop. But yeah, you know, this is a good point, and thank you for saying that because part of me, we were talking beforehand, and I was like, I don't know, like is an event like this valuable? Like, is this something I should be spending my time and money on? Because it's not like. It's not a profit driver, but if we looked at Instagram and Facebook like that, we would never. We never look at Instagram. We will spend all day on it and we'll be like, it's fine. It's fine. It's getting likes. But you're right. Something like this that brings people together in a small, intimate way, but also creates like a photo booth opportunity or an Instagram, honestly, opportunity for people to take photos and feel fun and cool in. That is how you create that sense of community and that interest in your brand.
Yeah. And one of the things too is like, what's cool is like my mission, like I said, is to create that the imagination, let people spark. It's already happening too. I get DMs of people creating their own characters.
Really?
And like this dude and their sketches and they're like, it's just, I'm like, yes, I'm doing it. Like something's working, whatever I'm doing. And it's making sure that I appreciate those moments. I'm saying this out loud so I can like register myself.
Appreciate those moments.
It's actually happening. It's not like I have to wait for the toy to be out there already. It's not out there. No one's touched it, but it's already invoking that energy that I put out there. I can't wait for the TV show. This looks like something I would have watched with my dad. Yes. This feels like Christmas. Comments are like just like that.
Oh,
and
my
like,
gosh.
Yes, I'm doing
that. You're doing great. You're really doing great. As soon as your toys are out, actually, as soon as you have the production approved, maybe we should get you out a press release. Go back to module 7 and get that press release out. I'm sure the toy book would be all over the floor about it. My last question for you is, what toy or game blew your mind as a kid?
Out of all the questions, this was like the hardest one for me.
Everyone says
because
that.
Because our generation is so lucky. Like I could think about a million, like creepy crawlers, Tamagotchis, and Nintendo itself. Like there's so many cool things that we played with.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I already said the Ninja Turtles was a big impact in my life, so I'll lean towards things like maybe that were forgotten, like creepy crawlers. I just remember good memories with that of like being room making little creations and waiting for the light bulb to light up and somehow burning yourself on it. Like those are the silly things. Like that's to me is again kind of what's missing in today. Like there were such creative toys back then that it's just like, let's see what happens. There was no data. They're not waiting for Instagram trends and all this other stuff. Like who would have said this would have been a hit? People just took chances and it got made, and if it had the good intentions and it was a cool toy, then obviously it stuck.
Yeah.
Go back to that.
Creepy crawlers. I love it.
Creepy crawlers.
Oh, you made me feel so basic with my Polly Pocket answer. But yeah, creepy crawlers.
No, but Mighty Max for the boys too. That was such a cool one too.
Mighty Max. Like, honestly, yes.
I literally had to go to my room, which is like full of all the toys. I'm like, which one was the most memorable?
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad I gave you some time to think about it. Well, Brandon, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share before I let you go? Even if it's just how to buy 9 to 5 Warriors, or if it's any other tips you want to share.
Since this was about pitching IP, story. Even if your toy doesn't necessarily have a story and it's an experience, pitch the story of how you came up with it and pitch the story of how you would feel or experience said toy. Like, again, watching my pitch, it's a story. It's not like target demographic, next slide, you know?
Yeah.
Traction slide. This is how you'd like, this is where I'm at. Like everything was just a progression and a natural flow. And because I've looked a million times. That's how I discovered you of Googling how to pitch a toy. And I found your site and all that stuff. Like you're going to find a million different answers. Just like anything is just like, what's the right way? Just tell a good story. And no matter what, you'll be fine.
I support that. If you're in my email list, you know all I do is tell stories all day. Like, I'm like, so today I went to Mexico. And then at the end, it's like, that's how you develop a toy idea. Like, when did she combine a toy idea with Mexico? How did she do that? Yeah, that's me. That's how I tell a story. This was great. And actually, I'm sorry. I have to ask you one more piece of advice. Do you have any resource for somebody that is struggling to, or maybe they don't even know they're struggling, some like a resource that tells people what is a good story? I know you learned this because you're in video editing, but there must be a book or a site that you like reference when you're like, is this story told right?
I think this is what I'm going to hammer it in on, especially in the story world. There's ways to write a script. There's ways to write a story. 3-act structure. This don't introduce too many characters at once.
What's 3-act structure? What? Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Just ignore all of that, because at the end of the day, like everyone's got an opinion and what makes a good story is that does it light you up? Uh-huh. Every time you tell it, does it light you up? And then yeah. your light is going to the next person. They're going to get lit up. They're going to remember whatever bit of it that lit them up. They're going to retell it, hopefully, you know. So, yeah, there's a million resources. There's a book literally called Story that tells you how to dive into character development, all these things. I read it. I took some takeaways. But the things that matter the most is it a good story? You'll light up, and then you'll feel passionate about making it. Passion's everything, just like a toy. Like, you want yeah. a toy because you think it's going to be a hit, and you yeah. have no emotion just because it lights up and it uses a thing. Like, it's going to fail because there's no core connection to it from you. Yeah. So how's the next person, you know?
Thank you so much, Brandon. Toy people, was an incredible conversation. Brandon Braswell, the creator, founder, video editor, toy designer. I mean, lead toy designer, right? Because you had help, right? You had your sculptors working with you. But yeah, for 9 to 5 Warriors. Go ahead.
I just learned how to sculpt. I'm so proud of myself.
Oh, excuse me. Now toy designer, Brandon Braswell.
Now, that's one more thing. Go on YouTube and learn, man. I honestly stopped myself so much because I thought it was hard. I got an iPad.
3D sculpt? Downloaded.
Yeah, Nomad Sculpt for $15.
Nomad Sculpt?
Yes. I'm going to hammer down this. Do this right now,
guys. I'm going to download it right now.
Use your AI generation. Put your ideas out. Get a reference point, and then just play on an iPad. And I guarantee you, there's like a YouTube thing that I watched. It was like 3 hours long, granted. But after 3 hours, I became a master.
What? Okay, you got to share that link, and I'll put it in the show notes for this episode.
Yeah.
Everybody who's watching on YouTube, you got it first. You know, everybody else to the podcast is going to have to wait. So subscribe to the channel. And basically the summarize, I mean, we don't even have to summarize the episode because Brandon did it so beautifully, but story, that is the summary yes. of the episode. So your job today, if you're listening to this podcast, is to download Nomad Sculpt. No, I'm kidding. No, is to work on the story behind your toy brand or your IP brand that you're working on. And maybe say it again to yourself and say, am I really lit up about this? Does this really excite me? And if it doesn't, you know, don't feel free to change it. Don't be afraid to change things. Thank you, Brandon. It was a pleasure interviewing you.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting. I'm going to go apply to the Hasbro and
yeah. you
know, write other emails.
Get it done. Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Well, there you have it, toy people, my interview with Brandon Braswell. Now, if you're just listening to this episode and you wish there was some visual to go along with it, well, you are in luck. There is, my friend. Head over to youtube.com/thetoycoach and search in our podcast playlist. There is an entire playlist for this podcast where you can find the full video of the episode you just listened to. So make sure to check that out. Also, if you want to grab any of the links mentioned in this episode, head over to thetoycoach.com/183. And of course, I want you to support 9to5 Warriors. You can go to 9to5warriors.com or go to the Big Bad Toy Store and search for 9to5 Warriors. Purchase this product. Let's support our fellow toy people who are taking chances and developing product that they know people want and they know people will love. We've got to support each other out here. Before I wrap up, I've got to ask you, if you're listening to this podcast, you love this podcast, and you haven't yet left a review, what are you waiting for? Your reviews keep me motivated to keep coming back week after week, but more importantly, they help this podcast reach other people like you. So please, wherever you're listening to this podcast, go over and leave that review. As always, thank you so much for spending this time with me today. I know your time is valuable and that there are a ton of podcasts out there, so it truly means the world to me that you tune into this one. Until next week, I'll see you later, toy people.
Thanks for listening to Making It in the Toy Industry podcast with Ajel Wade. Head over to thetoycoach.com for more information, tips, and advice.
Hey, are you an aspiring toy inventor or toy entrepreneur? Then you should check out Toy Creators Academy, the first of its kind online program designed to help you develop and pitch your toy ideas. Head over to toycreatorsacademy.com to learn more.